Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we journey with Mary to some place that she's appeared in the world. And we closely look at the details of her visit to see what we can learn about it. And we often learn that she has important messages, predictions, very, very important things to share with us, especially about our spiritual path and being better Catholics, better religious people, and to get back to her son and Mass and Eucharist and confession and penance and, fasting, all these things which are important to understand and to learn about. And so many people these days don't pay any attention to it, don't give it much credibility, don't think it's necessary. They might just show up to church every now and then just to relieve any guilt feelings for not going and sit there and daydream about whatever and then go home thinking, okay, I went to church. No. That's not the way it works, not the way it should work. And so in this show, we try to inspire with letting you know heaven is very much watching every little thing that we do, very much involved in our world, despite our basically lack of awareness, lack of paying attention. Miracles are happening every day and we don't even notice, or we just say, oh, that's weird, and go on, not believing that it could possibly be anything from heaven. And then all sorts of bad things happen, which some people will blame on heaven instead of recognizing how the devil works. So there's a lot of misunderstanding. In this show, we hope we'll try to put things back in the right perspective, get people to pay attention to what is important and to get back to the right spiritual path. Because, folks, that's eternity. That's a long time to spend on the wrong path. So this is like our audition here right now for eternity. And we need to do a good job, because we don't want to be put in the pile of no good people that didn't get it, or the people who ignored God or blew him off or didn't think he was real. That's not where we want to be. So all these studies of Mary have helped us to get closer to her, get closer to Jesus, and inevitably closer to our faith. And I had no idea that I'd be able to speak to many countries of the world. We've counted as many as 130 now that we've actually broadcast to. And we appreciate you being out there, taking interest and learning as we go. And tonight's one of my favorites, just for all the wonderful detail that's contained in it. And it was kind of around the time that I was growing up, so the kids were somewhat close to my age when it happened. But anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. Next, we want to see what part of our team's here. We know our co-host, Donald Hartley, is here, one of the founders of Deeper Truth. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Donald Hartley?
Well, John Carpenter, we're doing very well tonight. We're excited about this opportunity here, and this series has been magnificent. Our Lady is magnificent. She's Queen of Heaven. And when we're talking about these visits, these apparitions, it is so important that we understand. You go to 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And that's why when we do these shows, we show that the church is very involved in all of the investigative process and all of this to safeguard the flock. That's what the church does, the shepherds. You know, that was an important message for today at Mass today, are shepherds. So very important. It also says in Acts chapter 2, and in the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my man servants and on my maid servants in those days I would pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. And that's exactly what we are doing here, is sharing what our Lord has been doing for the past 2,000 years, what Our Lady has been sharing with us the past 2,000 years. And we have a pretty good crowd tonight. I got Judy Alciator. How you doing, Judy, from Texas?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. We got Kathy from Missouri. How are you doing there, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Hi, Judy. Hi, everybody. Doing good.
Hi, sweetheart. I love you.
Hi.
Love you, too.
We got Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. Looking forward to taking this little trip. You know, if we're going anywhere, we have to make reservations on a plane. We have to go through passport checks and all of that sort of thing. But Mary, she moves at the speed of thought.
pretty much. She has the heavenly, I guess, the best plane available. And we got
our newest member. Scotty can't beam her up.
Go ahead.
She's too quick for him.
Yep. Don't need to be beamed up. But anyway, we also got Terry from Texas, our newest member of Deeper Truth. How you doing there, Terry?
Oh, pretty good, brother. Pretty good.
But Terry, you are in for a treat tonight. And Carpenter, there's nobody else in the world just quite like John Carpenter. He's the man, the myth, and the legend in his own mind. No, I'm only kidding. No,
you made that up.
We are very proud. We are very proud of John, and the study that he has done on this series has just been, I mean, it's amazing. So thank you so much for everybody that's involved here tonight so far, and all those out there listening. We want to encourage everybody out there listening to really take a good look at what we're talking about tonight here at Garibaldi, Spain, 1961. And that's in a lot of our lifetime. I was alive during that time. And I know, John, you were too. You were around here at that time too, 1961.
Yep, sure was. So before we get going, Judy, I'm sure you have with you some amazing writings from God.
Well, yes, of course. I always do. I have one that's kind of different. The Lord gave it to me, I think it was yesterday. Anyway, this is the poem. I am a woman, black or white, in my early 20s. I am a man, black or white, aged 65. I am a child, black or white, 4 years old. I am a person, black or white, happy to be alive. I am a human being. What difference the color of my skin? I am a child of God, for whom hatred is a sin. I have a mind for thinking. I have a heart that loves. I have a soul given by my God, and it links me to heaven above. You don't know me, and yet you do. Do you hear me when I call out to you? Take my hand, for Jesus walks beside me. Share my sorrows as I share those of thee. Take my hand and let us walk together. Let's bring peace to set all people free.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I do have more at this time.
Okay.
Well, that was.
Well, we'll end with your other one later. Then that'll be a nice finish to the time today.
Okay.
And Garabandha's going to go at least a couple weeks. A lot of rich detail. A lot of things people do not know, probably, and that's why I try to get as much good quality information pulled together. And it's interesting because recently there's been one or two movies that came out over the internet, kind of again bringing the whole story back to life, and they were very good. And it's interesting because just a little jump ahead here, they admitted the authorities that they blew it off in the beginning and they lied, and they came forth 20 some years later admitting that they had screwed up and that this was as good as Fatima or anything. But so just a little preview of the little bit of a scandal there that happened that came out some 20 years later. But anyway, we'll get back to what actually happened. Garabandha, Spain, is on the northern coast of Spain, not too far from that crucifix that moved in the church. You might remember, some of you who have my book, that was an amazing event that happened in northern Spain as well. And we had this, other apparitions in Spain, including the very first one in 40 AD, Zaragoza, Spain. So Spain has had a few. And, of course, Portugal is right on the coast of Spain, and that's where Fatima, of course, was. So a lot going on in the area. So this is between the years 1961 through 1965. And grade school years for me. And they're just a little older than that. Their ages range from basically 11 to 12. But here's where it starts. On June 18th, 1961, on a Sunday, people of the small town of Garabandha often congregated in the village square following Mass at their little church. We might say that would be the gathering space in the other parishes today. But in their little town, in their little church, the village square became their gathering space after Mass. Well, two girls, Conchita Gonzalez, age 12, and Mary Cruz Gonzalez, a second cousin to Conchita, was age 11, they decided to sneak away to a nearby apple tree in the yard of their school teacher while their parents were caught up in gossip. Mary Loli Maison, age 12, and Jacinta Gonzalez, age 12, had seen them sneak away and decided to follow them. At first, they accused the first two of stealing with threats of telling on them. But soon they were all laughing and giggling and eating apples, too. Then they all fled when they heard their school teacher's loud voice coming from inside her house. They began to feel a little guilty for their actions, just a little bit. Remember, they're kids. And they decided that they would start throwing stones at an imaginary location that the devil must be standing there. So they imagined he was standing there, and they were going to throw stones at him to kind of make up for their actions and to please their saddened guardian angels. They figured their guardian angels were watching, so they're going to throw these stones at the imaginary devil so that their guardian angels would feel better. Right. Well, they grew weary of that play. And they were suddenly startled by a loud clap of thunder, very similar to Fatima. A loud clap of thunder got their attention there, too. And suddenly in the rocky lane, Conchita saw a very bright, beautiful figure surrounded by a brilliant light. Stunned and speechless, she pointed to the apparition. But the other girls were first worried about Conchita and her actions until they looked and saw the apparition also. And then they exclaimed, "An angel!" Truly, it was an angel. And the angel looked at them, but said nothing, and then disappeared. Frightened, the four girls ran back to the village square, but they hid behind the church and started crying. Now, their teacher knew them well and could tell they had definitely seen something. They described the angel as a small, 9-year-old childlike figure, but of great strength. He wore a long, blue, seamless robe. He had large, pinkish wings. His eyes were black. The teacher was convinced by their consistent description and strong emotions, but when each girl went home, their families were full of doubt and disbelief. So the local priest, Father Valentin, questioned each of the girls on the following day and was impressed. So he began keeping careful records, by the way, none of which was reviewed later by the so-called committee. Mm-hmm. And although the angel did not return that next day, Conchita heard a voice that night during her prayers. And the voice said, quote, "Don't worry, you shall see me again," unquote. Now stop there right for a second, because here also at Fatima, the children first were greeted by the angel, and the angel of Portugal, angel of peace. So here we are again, a small group of children, and they're first greeted by an angel in a bright light after a clap of thunder. Any comments by anybody?
Well, just think about how biblical this event is shaping up. You go to Ezekiel chapter 1, and you see where Ezekiel is having this great vision of what he is seeing. And I'm just going to kind of jump ahead in that little story there. And basically, verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28, like the appearance of the bow or the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around about. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And so I'm just saying, in the Old Testament, what we're seeing is the blueprint of what God does, the character of God here. And Our Lady appearing there is in conformity of His way. And I think that is so powerful. And that's one of the things that the church looks at when they're investigating these things, is it in the mode that God, because God doesn't do anything that's strange or weird outside of what He does. And in the Old Testament, we can see what He has done in the past and what He is doing here in the future. And when He sends His messengers, be it angels or the Virgin Mary, they're going to do and be consistent to that glory of God. You're going to see that bright light. How many times have we seen that, John, where surrounding Our Lady or angels in this situation, in these situations, we see that bright light? Same thing with
every time.
Miracles. Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
And it just shows
every
the
time.
Glory of God every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is an important point as well. Now, we know that the devil can appear as an angel of light, but that's why the church investigates these. And it's sometimes pretty tedious. Sometimes, what is it, the average age of these apparitions, it takes about 34 years as an average before the church accepts it, if there is something to accept. About 34
more
years.
More like 50. More like 50.
More like
years.
50. Mm-hmm. 53.
53 years. 53. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. An average.
So quite a lot of
the shortest one.
Yeah,
was,
average.
The shortest one was a month, and the longest approval was 360 years, I think, something like that. So quite a disparity between 1 month and 300 some years to make a decision. But sometimes I think they just didn't want to be the ones to make it. They passed it on to the next person and so forth until finally someone said, hey, we need to make a decision about this after 300 some
years. You know, it's interesting when you're playing numbers like that. Do you know what the average time span of each pope is? Knowing that in some cases it's 1 month, and some cases it's almost 25 years. I think Pope St. John Paul II was the third longest reigning pope in history. And so you've had some that was close to 30 years, and then like in the case of Pope John Paul I, it was like 1 month. Do you know what the average age of each reign of every pope is, considering from Peter to Francis? The average age of every pope is 7 years and some change.
Wow.
7 years. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. What is the perfect number of Christ? Seven.
Seven. Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, so on Tuesday, June 20th, just 2 days later, the four girls returned to the Rocky Lane to pray the rosary. Good move. As they were finishing and rising from their knees, they saw a very bright light again, which enveloped each of them where they could see, they could not see anything else but the light. It terrified them and left them shook or shaken. They did not want to talk to anybody but the priest this time. And then on Wednesday, the very next day, June 21st, they returned to the Rocky Lane again to pray the rosary, accompanied now by several adults. After their prayers, the angel appeared. Conchita asked the angel what the priest had suggested. Basically, who are you? Why are you here? But the angel just smiled and disappeared. The adults were amazed by the physical transformation that the girls had gone into to see, which, of course, many saints had the same ecstasy as well. Faces became pale, transparent-like, and glowing with beautiful expressions. They radiated an indescribable beauty which impressed the villagers. I always said it's almost like they have 1 foot in heaven and 1 foot still on earth when they are in ecstasy. So that beautiful presence that they exude is almost like a heavenly face that they take on for a moment. On Thursday, the next day, June 22nd, the priest joined more villagers as they observed the girls going into an ecstasy again, following their prayers in the Rocky Lane, as the angel again appeared to them. Following the same routine and angelic appearance on Friday, the 23rd, the priest took the four girls into the church and questioned them closely. He then publicly pronounced the supernatural events as genuine and probably of God's work. Yeah. That was a nice beginning. Well, on Saturday, June 24th, the angel said a word which meant, it is necessary that, and held a sign that contained Roman numerals on it. When the girls responded that they did not understand, the angel just smiled at them. And this is not unusual. Often Mary would just smile at the visionaries, because sometimes it's just a matter of becoming acquainted, becoming present, letting her know, letting them know that she's there, that she's present, that they're beginning to become accustomed to a supernatural presence. I think that's what they did in Fatima, was get the kids used to, in fact, I know it was what they said, the angel was coming to them the year before Mary appeared to get them used to supernatural visits and things out of this world, so that when Mary appeared, they'd be warmed up and ready. And in this case, we've got day after day after day, this angel appearing and just smiling at them, not really telling them much yet. Oh, but it's coming. By Sunday, June 25th, Sunday, June 25th, the very next day, people were coming from all the nearby villages as word of the vision spread, including five priests and many doctors. One doctor tried to lift Conchita during her kneeling ecstasy, getting her only barely off the ground, and then dropped her hard on her knees. Others could hear the sound of bones breaking. Yet, Conchita remained unaware of that action, and the villagers found her unharmed, without a scratch or bruise, after her ecstasy was over. And that is also very common among visionaries. It's hard to move them, hard to pick them up, and they can drop to their knees, and you can hear what sounds like bones cracking, and they're never hurt, never injured, never bruised. The other girls found lumps, marks, and pinpricks where they had been tested by the doctors during their ecstasies. The doctors were amazed that none of the girls reacted in any fashion, yet had the marks and bruises from their tests. Because the girls were in the light of the angel and oblivious to anything else around them, they were often surprised at how dark the day had become when the enveloping light of the angel was gone. From June 28th to the 30th, the angel again reappeared and would not answer questions, but just smile back at them. I'll stop there for a moment. Any other thoughts, questions, or impressions?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Judy.
I can sort of relate to what you were talking about, where the visionaries are totally unaware of what's going on around them. They feel nothing, because when I've had my own personal visions, you sort of lose track of where you are. You lose track of your own body. You're in a different place altogether in your mind and in your heart, and nothing else is real. Nothing else is real, and nothing else matters.
Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly right.
You know,
the saints said the same thing, too.
I think is very interesting. One thing I think is very interesting when people think about one of the criticisms, how can you pray to saints, dead saints, and this kind of thing? Well, to our belief, I mean, these saints are more alive than we are. But one of the things I think, instead of saying, well, we pray to Mary, I think it's easier to say that we pray with Mary. Because, I mean, like at Lourdes, did not Our Lady pray with Saint Bernadette? Yes, she did.
Yes.
And she prays with us, too, when we're praying the rosary. She prays with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool when you think about it from that perspective. What do you think about that there, Kathy?
I think less and less Protestants are saying that we pray to saints and Mary. A lot of people I bump into say they talk to their dead relatives all the time, so...
Well, yeah, people who love their relatives, or people who have died. So, Terry, do you have any thought about any of this? Have you kind of seen anything like this?
Well, I've never personally experienced what these children did. I mean, I would definitely love to, and I believe with all my heart. But I noticed every Mass, when I focus intently upon the Eucharist, I lose sense of time. I kind of feel in an otherworldly place. And I know it might not be the same as the story that you're describing, but I can see the relevance, you know, when I'm focusing on the Eucharist. I mean, you know, an hour and 15 minutes at Mass goes by like 10 minutes, and I'm like, wow, you know. And so I can see it. I've never experienced. Mary's never appeared, you know, where I can see her with my physical eyes. I mean, she's appeared many times where I could feel her in my spirit, and you know, but nothing on the level like, you know, what you're talking about now.
Okay.
Terry?
No, it's...
May I speak to Terry for a second?
Go sure. For it.
Terry, this is Judy. Excuse me. What you just described is a reality that can be called being elevated to a different sphere, a different realm. And that's the realm of the heavenly. When you lose track of ordinary time, you sort of come out of your own sense of self, you're being elevated in some way to that heavenly realm. And for you, you experienced through the Eucharist, which is a marvelous, wonderful way to experience it. And you're mm-hmm. very blessed. You're very blessed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
As we
hey,
all
John.
Yeah, hey, go
John.
Ahead there, Mike.
I'm curious about something. In a number of these apparitions, we have, and by the way, just as an aside, a college student preparing for his finals is going to be so engrossed in his studies, he's going to be totally oblivious to anything going on around him, which is a similar experience to what these visionaries had. But I'm going to go back a few paragraphs and ask you, why is it necessary, or why does heaven seem to think it's necessary to scare these visionaries half to death? I mean, that's been a common thread in some of these apparitions. Is there, and I'm not trying to second-guess heaven and how they do things, but why is it necessary to scare these kids half to death?
Can I say something to that?
Sure.
Brother, any time that we see the heavenly, we as physical mortals are going to be scared to half to death. I don't think the angels or the Blessed Virgin is trying to scare us half to death. I think it's just
right.
The fact that we're mortals with finite minds witnessing the infinite, of course it's going to scare us to death, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the phrase "fear not," "fear not" occurs 365 times in the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah,
be not
so,
afraid.
Right.
It had to be
why
said.
Why do you think
it
appears so many times?
And also,
why
right.
do you think that phrase appears many times? It's because we constantly have to be reminded not to fear.
Don't be afraid.
Being afraid Amen. Of something unusual. And let's face it, this is about as unusual as you can get.
Yeah.
Being afraid of it, that temporary sense of fear is a normal human reaction. That's all.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Also, the Bible says fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you all
and
got that
what
right.
From what I'm seeing about these children...
Yeah, I got
these children are not
tonight.
Afraid. are they? These children are not afraid, from what I'm gathering. They're going back, and they're kind of looking forward to these occasions, and the crowds are getting bigger and bigger as it goes, as it spreads.
It's interesting because, like in Medjugorje, the first time all the kids saw her, they were scared and ran. But within a day's time, they're all drawn to her and mesmerized and eager to see her. So heaven sometimes steps in there and kind of calms the person after the first round. Juan Diego in Guadalupe, he didn't want to do it. He wanted her to pick someone else, and she goes, "Nope, you're it." And after that, he was okay.
Yeah, history was a position, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, here now on Saturday, July 1st, the next day, the angel finally revealed why he had come. He announced that the Virgin Mary will appear on the next day, Sunday, as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and would explain more to them. The girls were so excited, not afraid, they were so excited, and talked for 2 hours with the angel, while the villagers could tell that something very special was happening. And, you know, that's the cool thing about these ecstasies. At first, they don't know what's going on, human reaction, as you all said. But now they're really getting into it. They're so excited. They're going to meet the Virgin Mary tomorrow. Can you imagine, Donald, if someone showed up to us and said, "Oh, tomorrow Mary's coming and is going to be with you"? I don't think we would sleep.
No.
No. No, we would not. No, especially if it's an angel telling us.
When she appears to you, when she appears to you in a manifestation, like flowers that smell beautiful, like we have experienced, or maybe, you know, she gives you some signs. You know, the first,
right.
You know, there's 15 promises that we are given for praying the rosary. The first one, you know, are signs that are given to us that may seem natural on the one side. But, man, when you see it and it fits together, it's just like, wow. It just shows where our Lord is involved in our lives in a very intimate way. So.
Yeah.
That's.
All right. So. Somebody's got a lot of noise going on there. Not sure what that is. Anyway, on the very next day now, Sunday, July 2nd, was greatly anticipated as word spread like wildfire that the Virgin Mary was going to appear in the Garibandal. Just like I said, if you know it's about to happen in your town, you're going to be there. And so a Spanish Civil Guard had to escort and protect the four little girls, just like Fatima. Many priests and doctors were present. Soon after 6 p.m., in the rocky lane, the Virgin Mary suddenly appeared before them. There was light all around her, with two angels standing on either side of her. Then they found out that the angel they had been seeing was now recognized as Saint Michael.
The Archangel.
Blessed Mary. Yeah, yeah. So here's how Mary appeared to them, how she looked to them. She had a white robe with faint patterns of flowers on it and a blue mantle. She wore a crown with 12 golden stars and held a large brown scapular similar to Mount Carmel in her hand. There was a mountain on one part of the scapular and a white cross on another part. Mary's long, dark hair was parted in the middle and down to her waist. The girls were stunned by the beauty of her face, a dainty nose, a pretty mouth, and slightly full lips, as if she were only 17 years old. Her voice was sweet and pure, and not like any other voice they had ever heard. That is said many times in many apparitions. People have tried to imitate the voice. They can't do it. They call it musical. They call it sweet. They call it just something they can't even begin to imitate. And to her right, they saw a square of red fire, which formed a triangle, Trinity, that contained a large eye, which they thought was God, and some other writing that they could not read. They all conversed in simple, everyday terms as if they were daughters sharing with their mother. Mary listened lovingly to their simple questions and little stories. She said, "I am the Lady of Mount Carmel. I have come for all my children." When Mary confirmed St. Michael's identity, Jacinta giggled and said she had a brother named Michael, though without the saint part, unquote. Mary then taught them how to say the rosary more slowly and with meaning, meditating on the mysteries. Mary said she would return again tomorrow and had been so kind, gentle, and loving with the girls. The girls were thrilled, in love with her already, and so sad to see her go. The villagers were quite impressed, inspired, and uplifted. This then began a series of 2,000 apparitions which would occur with the four girls over the next 4 to 5 years. I'll pause there for a moment. Oh, yeah, a lot went on in Garabandal. And that's how it started. Any reactions to Mary's first appearance?
Well, her first appearance always has a big bang to it. Remember when she first appeared to Claude Newman in his cell?
Oh, yeah.
He thought, I mean, the same reaction. Most beautiful woman. One of the most beautiful sound.
That's probably the most typical phrase I've found in all my research. The first reaction is, beautiful lady. No matter what country, what culture, doesn't matter. It's almost always, beautiful lady.
I have something to share.
Sure.
Go for it.
And you probably know this, John. There's a group on Facebook. A group on Facebook called The Message of Garabandal.
Yeah.
You guys familiar with that? Glenn Hudson runs that, and he knows Conchita the singer. Well, they somehow recorded her voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been so long since I've been in there, but I know there's, if you sum through there, it'll say Mary's voice is recorded, and they have like a picture of her too.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
I'm not familiar with this particular apparition, but I mean it's an awesome story. As you're telling it, I mean, I'm feeling the chills go up and down my spine. And just earlier today, I was having brisket with one of my buddies here in Magnolia, Texas. And then we were talking about the vaccine, and I explained my reasons for not getting it. And he was like, "Well, what if you die?" And I was like, "Dude, I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I know what happens when I die, you know?" And so as you're telling the story, I was thinking about my conversation with him, and it's like these young children, when they were talking to the Blessed Virgin Mary, I mean, they were able to see on the other side. And I don't know the ending of the story. I can't wait for you to finish it, but I imagine by the time they finished speaking with the Virgin Mary and with St. Michael, they too understood that they need to be ready. They need to be ready to die, you know?
Oh, you got that right. Yeah. Well, and this story will stretch over at least another week, maybe even two. So there's so much detail. So if you got chills now, boy, you're going to really be on a roller coaster ride of fun with this one. It's got a lot of goodies. And this next paragraph will give you a little taste. Because the second time Mary appeared to them, she was holding the baby Jesus in her arms. They described Jesus. They described Jesus as an infant, but when he looked at us, he seemed to know us completely and smiled, even as an infant. They were thrilled with seeing him and just being themselves. They entertained the small child with little games and kisses. They picked up small pebbles for him to play with because he's a baby. But Mary touched the pebbles, kissed them, and told the girls to give them to the people. The villagers observed the girls handing these stones up to be kissed, which started a whole new major trend of giving Mary items to be kissed and blessed. This is the apparition where that process began. They do it in Medjugorje. They've done it in lots of other places, Kibeho, Rwanda. And very common practice now to give Mary items to be kissed and blessed. This is where it started, and Mary seemed to like the idea and complied with the kissing of rosaries, religious medals, wedding rings, or crucifixes from then on. With so many people and so many items piled up for blessing, it would be impossible for the girls to know what item belonged to whom. But during their ecstasies, they not only returned every item correctly to each individual, because they were being guided by Mary, and their eyes never left Mary, as if she was guiding them to the rightful owners. And despite some people and priests trying to trick or test the girls never made a mistake in returning the objects. Many times people would notice the sweet smell of roses coming from an object kissed by Our Lady.
Wow.
The object would then smell like roses.
Sometimes
Mary would ask the girls to have so-and-so, whoever kissed the crucifix, and they would always go right to that stranger in the crowd. They didn't know him, but Mary would direct them to the right person. Okay, so I told you you'd get a little taste of some fun stuff there.
Hey, let me ask you a question, because I don't know, you may have already said it. What year did this happen?
1961 through 1965.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, I love it when we have a new person on the show that's getting the chills like we get every week. Isn't that cool? I love it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's how I felt.
Just exactly. Well, see, Terry, John is a convert. He was a former Methodist who became a Catholic about 10 years ago or so. And
yep.
I think of right now we got 1, 2, 3, 4 of our co-hosts are either a revert, not a pervert, a revert, and or convert. And I think that's really cool. That's very neat. In fact, Terry is a convert, and we're planning on him coming on next Saturday, if he can, next Saturday to give his story, which is very powerful.
Great.
He kind of gave us small sample last night. And so, I mean, it's going to be a wonderful, powerful story of conversion. And you don't want to miss it. I guarantee you will not want to miss his story. And so, but as we're dealing and talking about this, Our Lady, that's what Our Lady's calling for. And that's why she's appearing in Spain right now. Well, not right now, but in the story that we're talking about right now. We're just joining her there in Spain, in Garibaldi.
Right.
And so
right.
I think it's fantastic, because when you have, let's say you have 1,000 rosaries and religious medals, and you have them all there to get blessed and kissed and whatever. And then every one of those goes to the right person. That's amazing. I mean, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
It's
impossible for anyone to do that.
Wow.
And they showed that. I've actually seen, you can actually get a DVD, I think it's still available, that shows film footage of them doing this. And it was also replayed in the movie. They reenacted the scene. But you see the girls staring upwards, walking back and handing the rosary to someone behind them. They weren't even looking at the person. They were looking at Mary the whole time. And would walk backwards and reach back over their heads and hand it to the right person, not even looking at the person they were handing it to. And they got it right every time. So,
you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm waiting for a new apparition because I know it's coming. I know it's coming. In this environment that we're in right now, I know it's coming. You know, and man, it's gonna just wow. You know, it's just
coming. They're always coming. We still got it going on.
He's talking about three days of darkness.
Another one or two
yeah.
that may be starting up now. So when I get more information, you'll all hear about it. That's for sure.
Hey,
go ahead, Mike.
You know what I'm trying to picture? Those girls were talking with St. Michael for 2 hours. I'm wondering if St. Michael got a word in edgeways.
No. They were talking with Mary. No. They were talking with Mary for 2 hours.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, you know, I understand what he's saying. It's like when St. Michael appeared on the scene, I imagine them little girls would just yappity-yap, you know?
Oh, yeah. And they were. And there's even photographs of them doing this. You can see them all looking up and smiling and grinning real big as they're talking with Mary. So it's a very well-photographed, well-documented series of events. And we're just getting started because we just have a couple minutes left. And I'm going to pause right here and go to Judy's last poem before we close out tonight. But next week's going to be great, guys. Don't miss it. We're going to have more of Garabandal, Spain. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. Well, this poem the Lord gave to me yesterday. They think his time has come and gone. How foolish can they be? But there are none so often blind as those who will not see. They think the world has turned its back. No Christians now, they say. But there are those so willful that they only see their way. They think his reign will never come, that he has not one friend. That is true, for we are many, and his reign shall never end.
Oh, nice. Really nice.
Man, I was thinking of 2 Peter chapter 3 when you're talking about that, because they scoff. Where is the promise of his coming? And they scoff, is he actually even coming? You know, they the rejection of the parousia. It's really crazy. But this is something, verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away in a loud noise. Oh, yeah. So that's what Judy's poem reminded me there. You had something real quick there, Terry?
Yes, sir. John. I believe it was chapter 19 when Jesus was being crucified, and he looked down upon the apostles, and he said, "Son, behold thy mother." And then he looked down upon his mother, and he said, "Mother, behold thy son." Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you, Terry, since you're new to us. How many apparitions would you guess that you've heard about, that you've read about or heard about?
Well, probably the major ones, of course, because I live in Texas, I'm very familiar. I mean, I've got a gigantic, probably 6-foot by 4-foot portrait right in front of my bedroom of the Virgin of Guadalupe. Of course,
nice.
I've heard about Fatima, Attica. The major ones are the ones
okay.
that I've read about. This one that we're telling the story about, I have never heard about, ever.
Well,
this is
that's
all
why
I
was.
Yet.
Most Catholics or even converts know about 5, 6, maybe 8 different apparitions that they've heard of. I just wanted to let you know you're in for a real treat, because if you keep listening to this program, you're going to hear all 101 that I have studied. So.
Oh, okay. And let me add, brother. I've got a YouTube channel called Break the Cycle, Beat the Odds. Of course, I was converted in prison, and my YouTube channel is devoted to prison ministry. And so I've got a lot of guys asking me right now, even though last night was my first time being on, a lot of guys are asking me right now how to tune in to this radio station so that they can hear this, you know. And
Donald, give him the best and easiest way for him to get hold of us.
The easiest way is simply go to Google Deeper Truth Radio, Journey with Mary, and it comes up automatic. Especially the latest.
Yeah, put in the
like
state,
tonight's show.
You know.
I sent that to you, to your email, and you can take that and send it to all, put it on your YouTube and everywhere else that you have that you want to do that, to share that with. Yeah, the more the merrier. And I got you on my list to send things to, so email. I'll be emailing you articles and these shows and things. Tomorrow night we're going to be focusing on the Eucharistic miracle, which is a lot like tonight. You know, the journey with Mary.
Hey, let me tell you something. The Eucharistic miracles is one of the things that when Father Harold Paulson was bringing me into he got the hook inside of me, and when he started reeling me in, the Eucharistic miracles was one of the things that really got me. My goodness. The Eucharist is my go-to. Whenever Satan tries to tempt me when I think, all I got to do is think about the Eucharist, and I can overcome any temptation that the devil tries to throw at me.
All right.
And I'm telling you, you will want to hear his story come next Saturday at 8 o'clock, I tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, the cat is kind of out of the bag. He's kind of let it be known. But he was in prison. How long was you in prison?
I was in prison for 18 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice.
And
well, welcome back.
Amen. Amen. And I say that with wholeheartedly, amen. And he was a leader of men too, weren't you? You were a leader.
Yes, sir. I was a leader of men in a sinful manner, and I led men in a sinful manner, and some of the same ideas and concepts that I had when I was involved in Satan's ministry, I've been able to use in God's ministry to bring people to Jesus Christ. Now, and I'm not going to lie. Sometimes when I'm evangelizing to somebody who has, you know, never heard about Jesus Christ, never been to a church or never even, and I mean, never even considered it, you know. Sometimes, I don't always lead them to the Catholic Church because I know the Catholic Church is the one true faith, and that this is the Catholic Church is the only true means of salvation. Sometimes you got to take baby steps, you know, I've been leading these guys y'all gonna have to listen Saturday. That's all I'm gonna say. Y'all gonna have to listen Saturday because, you know, some of these guys they're general, just like me. I was a general for Satan, and now that I'm Catholic, full fledged, holy, completely, totally willing to die for the Catholic faith, right? Willing to die for
Amen.
Jesus Christ. And now
Amen.
I say over and over, the devil should have killed me when he had me. Because now it's over with. I'm taking his sergeants. I'm taking his lieutenants. I'm taking his generals. And I'm bringing them to the truth of Jesus Christ.
Hey, let me give you a little tip. When you become closer to God, the devil really hates it, and you become a greater prize for him to get back. So he may come after you harder because he's losing you. So just watch for that.
Well,
he
heard the debate that I had with Satan the other day, so I think
good.
That'll give him strength.
All right.
Right.
Oh,
no, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Satan, a tactical general, right, uses the resources at his disposal in order to advance his cause, right? And he used mm-hmm. me. He used me when I was his servant. I didn't know I was serving Satan, you know what I'm saying? But I was. And he used me to serve his cause. But when I became Catholic in November of 2001, when that happened, I know he regretted not killing me and he had many opportunities, and you'll see that Saturday when we do our story. He had many opportunities because I was involved in a very violent criminal lifestyle that could have easily took my life at any time. But when I was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and when I became Catholic and I began to understand, I began to lead other souls to Jesus Christ. And now I'm sure Satan is sitting on the sidelines saying, man, I should have killed him when I had him. It's too late now.
It's definitely too late.
Yeah. As always, we like to end our show with asking everyone around the world out there, and I do mean around the world, up to 130 countries tuning in, We ask you to join with me in saying a Hail Mary. That way all our voices will rise in unison together up to heaven and make heaven smile. So
Amen.
Join with me now. Join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace.
Full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight and who perhaps got something out of this show, inspirational, educational. If nothing else, it certainly was interesting, and we love doing it so we can share this valuable and important research with you all, and that way you learn and you grow and you get closer to God, and we would love nothing better than to know that hundreds and thousands of people are getting closer, maybe just because we did something on the air for you. That would be awesome. Even one person
Amen.
Is worth it.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And so, well, yes. Just tomorrow night we're going to be talking about Eucharistic miracles. So, you know, come back tomorrow night, same bat time, same bat station. And so, thank you there, John. Outstanding as always. And when we're talking about Garibaldo, like this is part one, but wait till we get to part two and maybe part three. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
this is going to be. This is a wild. These are all good, but it's this is going to be fantastic. God bless everybody, and
good
God
night,
is awesome.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Blessings of Christ.
God is awesome.
Putting on the wrist.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
The night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Thank you.
comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.